All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, May 14th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a two-game NBA main slate tonight, as well as a two-game NHL main slate. We had an early four-game MLB slate get underway already. Good luck to all of you playing that slate. We have a nine-game MLB main slate later this evening. And then we have the PGA Championship teeing off early tomorrow morning. So I'm sure a lot of people are going to be building their PGA Championship lineups today. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. Reminder, a little bit of a schedule change this week. No Office Hours on Friday or Saturday. And the Build Review Show has been moved to tomorrow on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern. So just want to keep on reminding everybody about that. All right. We do have a lot of questions today. So that is always a good thing. Let's get these questions up and let's get SaberSim up. And I am going to be focusing on the PGA Championship for tomorrow. Typically on Wednesdays, we definitely like to do a golf build ahead of the tournament. So got PGA Championship loaded up here. Should be a fun one. Excited about it. But let's get started with questions. We're just going to work our way from the top down. All right. Deshaun said, when it comes to leverage for these NBA two-game slates, how many players are you focusing on? Like, are you looking into your top two-plus and negative leverage plays? Also, would looking into range of outcomes be a good way to determine how much exposure to get to a certain player, or maybe using the range of outcomes to determine if I want to bump up or down a player's projection? This is my last two-part question. Would you be okay? So it looks like we go into a second question. So let's just stop here before we continue on. Looks like there is a two-part question and then a second two-part question. So we'll just kind of focus on one at a time. So first part is, when it comes to leverage for these two-game slates, how many players are you focusing on? Honestly, not really focusing on, I guess I don't think about it this way, right? And we could do a NBA demo here and like we'll talk through this. So let's just say this is like our NBA starter demo, right? So, okay, we're going to go 500 lineups, two small adjustments, two projections, and then we're going to click build, right? So this will be our Saber score demo. So let's let these lineups finish running. All right. Let's cancel this sim. Don't need it. And then let's see. Is there anything in here I don't really care about? Don't really care about position. Yeah, that looks a lot better. All right, cool. So we come in here right away, right? And we see like this exposure column, okay? Sort by exposure, we see the leverage. There are some big leverages here. Now, mind you, right, these players are highly owned. Jaylen Brown's like 50%. Porzingis is like 50%. Draymond Green, 50%, right? And then these players, you know, 95, 95, 90, right? So, okay, yeah, we're getting a lot of exposure, but it is still, you know, about 2x their ownership, right? All of these players also are getting a higher pool percentage than their ownership. And, you know, it makes sense to see Jaylen Brown, Porzingis is going to be their first game without Jason Tatum. So, you know, there's obviously a little more usage to go around. And I don't think, you know, salaries are properly reflecting the available extra usage for the team, right? So to me, it makes sense why we're seeing these players. They're also very high value. If you just sort by value, you know, these are like the three highest value plays on the slate. So nothing weird going on here. But let's say that, you know, I just look at this and I'm like, I feel like this is too much value, right? Or too much leverage. I'm not so much focusing on any one like player. Like, I'm not saying like, okay, I want to take a stand on them, but I'm just saying like, how many different spots am I taking really big stands on? And am I okay with that? Right. For me, I guess it's going to depend. You know, sport definitely matters. Position definitely matters, right? If this was like baseball and I had like 40% leverage on like a hitter, even if it's like Aaron Judge, even if it's like Shohei Ohtani, you know, that might just be too much based on kind of what you're talking about, like the range of outcomes, right? Another thing you could look at is their adjusted ownership, right? Because adjusted ownership, remember, looks at a player's ownership, looks at a player's range of outcomes and scores them. An adjusted ownership that is lower than actual ownership means that this play is actually a really good play. If the adjusted ownership is like way higher than the regular ownership, that means they're a little bit risky, right? So you could be using adjusted ownership to achieve what you're trying to achieve here, of like trying to figure out which players are high risk and which players are like lower risk. So if you're looking for like some data point, some indication of doing that, I would be using this column here, right? But for me, I'm mostly coming in here, right? And I'm trying to balance this. I'm trying to say, okay, these are my leverages. This is my projected score, which is 271.5. I always want to get some diversification if I can. Going one to two uniques brings me down 0.6 projection. Going two to three brings me down like about 2 points total. But then I go and look at my leverages, and now I only have one player above 40%, and the other two players have come down into the 30s, right? I'm still getting leverage on them, just not as much. And for me, sacrificing a little bit of projection to get a little bit flatter exposures, still taking stands, but not taking as massive of stands, is kind of the right answer for me personally. But, you know, it might not be the right answer for someone else, right? And then I come in here, I go to four uniques. Now the leverages are flattening out a lot. I'm still taking double-digit stands on four players, but I've sacrificed, you know, a grand total of like 6 point projection to do that. I might value, me personally, I'll just tell you like what I do. I value the projection more here. I think 4 points is way too much to drop. I'm willing to keep the higher leverages to maintain the 4 point higher projection. And you just have to figure out which trade-off matters more to you. So some people might be like, I would never play three players in 80% of my lineups. That's just way too much. What if one gets hurt? What if one gets a bad game, has a bad game, then all my lineups are tanked? Like, you know, all these like, you know, kind of negative thoughts like creep in people's minds, right? And it's definitely a concern that you have to have. But for me, maintaining the projection is more important than going further with my risk management. I've done some risk management going from one to three uniques, but for me, that's enough, right? And I think that the rest of my risk management is coming from kind of bankroll management and contest selection, saying like, hey, you know, even if things go wrong here, I'm not playing so much of my bankroll to the point where if I have a bad day, I'm going to be, you know, kicking myself and upset, right? I'm playing within my limits, and I'm okay taking this risk considering I'm only playing this small portion of my bankroll, right? So usually the less bankroll you play, the bigger stands you could take. The more bankroll you play, the less big stands you should take, right? Because things are going to get swingier if you start to do that. So those are the things that you kind of want to be aware of. But again, adjusted ownership sounds like it could be a really good column for you to focus on. And this is basically how I would be balancing everything between leverages, using Saber score, uniques, exposures, all those kind of things. So this is like a pretty good stopping point for me, you know, building 20 lineups on the starter plan, using Saber score at lineup 65 out of 500, still valuing the rank of my lineups, and I'd be happy to submit these lineups as is. All right. One other point here I do want to mention, saying use a range of outcomes to determine if I want to bump up or down a player's projection. So I don't know if I would necessarily do that, right? But I think you could bump up or down exposures, right? So like for me, the way I think about this is projection, you know, is, I mean, in a nutshell, it is the minutes times the fantasy points per minute, right? These two columns. I would only adjust projections if I have a take or a opinion about one of these two columns, right? Do I think they're going to play more minutes or less minutes? Do I think they're going to perform at a higher fantasy point per minute or a lower fantasy point per minute, right? Those are the only two questions I'm really asking with regard to changing projections. Now, if you are like, hey, I think this player is riskier, I think this player is not so risky, and if you're analyzing the adjusted ownership column, well, your opinions about this column to me should more have an impact on the min and max exposures, right? So here, like, what I'm recommending is, like, if you have opinions about minutes or FPM, adjust projection. If you have opinions about ownership or range of outcomes with adjusted ownership, use the minimax exposures, because this is more along the lines of controlling how much you get or how little you get. In theory, you could adjust a player's projection and still not get any of them, right? Like, I do that sometimes. That happens to me where it's like, okay, you know, maybe I think so-and-so is going to get more minutes. I bump them up 2 points accordingly, and then I still don't get any exposure to them. You know, those times suck. But SaberSim is analyzing the projection adjustment and saying, no, I still don't think it's a good play. And I'm telling you, like, that's what can happen, right? Like, you could adjust projection up or down, get little to no movement and exposure just based on SaberSim is still, like, neutral on that adjustment. The adjustment wasn't enough to have an impact. And I'm not saying overinflate or deflate your adjustment to have an impact, but if you want an impact on exposures, then you should just use the exposure columns, right? Just be more direct with what you're trying to achieve. So that's the way I would look at these columns and use them. So hope that helps. Next part, this is my last two-part question. Would you be okay with moving salary up to $49,000 since rotations are tighter in the playoffs? Are you using any rules going forward in the playoffs? One more question. What are some of the sources you use, I guess, to double-check SaberSim builds for NBA? I've kind of just been letting Saber build, then do uniques, and enter them into contests. Okay, so I think you could get answers to these two questions through the same mechanism. And that mechanism, in my opinion, would be contest flashback, right? First part is like, hey, do you think it's okay to bump up salary to $49,000? Okay, well, you know, don't ask me my opinion, right? Go actually and look at lineups from past contests and let SaberSim give you the answer to that question, right? So, okay, we're going to go back to yesterday. We're going to go to the NBA slate. We're going to go to the two-gamer. And I'm going to go to contests. Maybe I'm playing the $4 20 max, right? Okay, we go open the $4 20 max. We go over to users. We're going to look at people who maxed it. And we're going to look at the highest sim ROI lineups. And we're going to say, what is the average salary of these lineups, right? Okay, average salary, $49,900. Like, almost literally all of these top sim ROI lineups are using a $49,900, $49,800, have a average salary of this number. So if you're asking me, like, hey, do I think, you know, moving salary up is okay? Yeah, I absolutely think moving up salary is okay, based on what we're seeing here, right? All these top lineups are using higher average salaries. Not to say, you know, what you would have to do is you'd have to look at them, right? I'd have to, like, okay, I'm going to filter for this user. I'm going to go to the leaderboard, and then I'm going to go and look at what the actual salary of their lineups is and, like, see if there's, like, an outlier. But you could just use the average if you don't want to do this and just say, okay, it seems pretty safe to say that I can bump up my average salary, my minimum salary, to $49,000 because all of these lineups are grading out so well with the salaries that are present, right? So here I would say, yeah, it's a totally fine thing to do. But like, you can do this and get the answer to a lot of different questions, right? For a lot of different sports, for a lot of different scenarios, by learning how to use this tool. Second part was, what are some of the sources that you use to double check Saber Sim builds for NBA? I'm not you really using any outside sources for this, but you know, I think something that's like kind of cool that I see sometimes in Flashback is like, let's say we load up the flagship contest from yesterday, right? Okay, so we go over to users, go to like 150ers, Sim ROI. Okay, so like we come in here, right? And then you can basically like go in and study any of these players, and not all of them, you know, are Saber Sim users, right? I know like a very popular name is like McLovin, right? I don't know if he has anything. I don't know if he uses us at all, but he definitely doesn't use our logo. Aaron Costa is a Stochastic logo, right? Hishpu is like a pro. I think Royal Pain is a pro, or just like guys that are like very, very high volume, right? The Mish as well. So you see some of these names where like maybe, you know, they're not like primarily using Saber Sim, and you're like, hey, you know, maybe I want to go study their lineups because they're still grading out well in Saber Sim, you know, like Udicale and some of these other guys. They must be entering good lineups, right? So you get like a view of somebody who might be using like other primary projections and see, you know, what, how their lineups look. Like if you want to go like study like McLovin and just get a sense for like what the macro aspects of their lineups are and how you can apply like some of those macros to like your own stuff. So like McLovin, 11% Sim ROI, right? Okay. 49.9 average salary. We kind of talked about that already. 260 Sim average score, 2 average dupes. And then we can even go and like go to the projections tab. Okay. Well, how did he play the chalk, right? You come in here, you sort by ownership. Did he get, you know, over or under? Were there any spots where he had like a lot of leverage? Come in, we add a leverage column. It's like, okay, where were his biggest leverages? Okay, he took leverage on the highest owned player. What were his fades, right? Like nothing too crazy, negative 11% leverage, like 14% exposure, and then like a small drop off here, but nothing crazy, right? So playing it kind of close to the vest, taking like one stand and then otherwise being like a little over, a little under on like a number of players. You know, this is something you could do, right? You could like, okay, hey, I'm noticing, you know, and then not only you study him, right? But like also go and study like the top players in the contest, right? Raxman, never heard of him, you know? Okay. Why do his lineups grade out so well? You know, you look at his macros, you go look at his exposures, and then, okay, he's like a really big stand. Actually, he went a little bit the opposite, right? McLovin was on Mobley. He went on Christian Brown. He took a huge stand on him and Jalen Williams, you know, 50% leverage there. And then inversely, like a little bit more aggressive with the negative leverage plays under on Mathurin, Nemhar, Jamal Murray, right? You can look at like all these different users, see what they're doing to end up with good lineups, and then take a little bit from each one of them. So, you know, it's not so much, you know, using like outside sources and stuff, but studying the top players. You know, these guys are maxing out these contests. They probably have big bankrolls, probably long-term winners, and they're entering good lineups, you know, every day. So this is like what I would be doing to try and figure out, you know, kind of not double checking Saber Sim builds, but like double checking like, hey, how do my lineups look versus some of the best lineups in the DFS lobby? And what can I learn and what things can I take away to apply to my own, you know, process? So like, this is probably one of the most important things you can do outside of like submit your lineups on time. That way, you have, you know, viable lineups in your contest. Like, studying is super, super important. All right. Good question there. Russell said, what is the best way to upload projections from another source? Yeah, absolutely. So real quick, we do have a tutorial on this. Go over to the top right menu, go to help, go to SaberSim tutorials. We have, let's see. Okay, it might be in the glossary one. Okay, so in the Saber Sims frequently asked questions and glossary, uploading custom projections and data. I will drop this here in the YouTube chat so people can check that out after the show, whatever. But to upload projections, all right, so we're back to the golf slate for today, right? You go to this upload button over here in the right-hand side above the search bar. So it'll say upload player projections. You can either upload a CSV or you can just copy and paste the data into this table. Make sure the headers, they do auto match if they recognize the column header names. You know, if it says projection, it typically picks it up as projection. But if it says something different, it might not pick it up right. So just verify that columns get matched appropriately. Once you upload via CSV or copy and paste, you click save. The values will go into the My Projection column. You'll have the ability to save them as a set. Say it's like some aggregate, you want to name it that. It'll appear in this gear icon. When you click it, there'll be options here, and whatever you named your source, you'll be able to switch back and forth between SaberSim, between your upload. You can average them, you can do a bunch of different things. But all of that is covered in that tutorial that I shared and showed where to find. But that's a general overview of how to upload projections. Check out the tutorial for more details. All right, next question for PGA. Do you prefer sorting by unique rank or rank for multiple contests? Okay, good question. So seems like a good time to run some PGA builds here. So why don't we build some lineups? Kick this off. I should have done 5,000. I'm going to stop this. Do 5,000 because we already did the starter demo for, what was that, basketball. Now, we'll do like an ultimate demo for golf here, and we'll talk about this question specifically. Sean said, so I just need to use Contest Flashback better. Thanks, I'm going to do that now. Right on. Yeah, no, Contest Flashback is awesome. So I would definitely continue to do that. All right. So back to this question about preferring unique rank or rank for multiple contests. So for me, it depends. And we're doing an ultimate demo here, right? But the reason it depends is because, remember, SaberScore casts like a big blanket, right? It's like a big range. All contests between 10K, 50K entries, right? Any contest like 1K to 10K. So you're going to have more contests within a SaberScore. So when I'm using SaberScore, I recommend using unique rank, because if you have two contests that both fall within the same category and you use rank fill, you're going to get the exact same 20 lineups in both contests. Okay. In that case, I think having 40 unique lineups is better. So I would use unique rank with SaberScore. Now with ultimate, okay, every contest sim that you run, if you have a list here, has a different ROI. The ROIs are effectively all different sorting metrics. So imagine having a SaberScore for every contest that you're playing, okay? A different SaberScore, mind you. So all of the lineups are going to have a different ROI for each contest. What this means is that some lineups might grade out well across multiple contests, but it's not guaranteed that they will. In my experience, when I do this, you know, I might have 40 entries and then I might fill with rank and I might get 34 lineups where six of them overlapped, but not all of them, right? In that case, you know, me personally, like, hey, if I have a lineup grading out well in different contests with different payout structures, with different entries, and the builder likes it, I'm okay playing it twice, right? I know it's not going to give it to me automatically. It's only if it comes up because the sorting metrics are different, right? So with contest sims, I'm more inclined to use rank. With Saber Score, I'm more inclined to use unique rank. But that's me personally. Some people like unique rank across both. I'm less inclined to use rank for Saber Score, that's for sure. But that's how I prefer to handle it. So that's generally the advice that I give. Unique rank for Saber Score, rank for ROI. All right. Next question. Is there any advantage to filling in all the fields for every contest that I enter that isn't in the SaberSim database? I enter tons of satellites that aren't in the database and want to know if there is any benefit in filling in all these custom contest fields, or I should just use one single satellite contest for all of these contests. Okay. Really good question. This can be super tedious. What I do is I use one custom contest sim for all of my satellites, okay? So what I would do is I would go to the contest tab. Then let's say I have a bunch of satellites here, right? What I do is I use a custom contest sim. I'll tell you exactly how I do this. I just use a default field, say flagship MME. I set contests at 100 or contest size at 100. Percent to first, 100%, percent entries paid once, paying first place, and I set it up as a single entry. Okay, I will save this. I will call this just, my sats or whatever you want to call it. This is what I will use for all of my satellites, okay? Some of them might be less entries, some of them might be more, but generally a 100-man winner-take-all is, in my opinion, good enough for like almost all of the satellites that you're going to play that aren't in the database. So, and then what I will do is I will fill all of those contests using unique rank from this one satellite, right? Because if I use ROI and I use rank, well, then I'm going to have, you know, say I have 20 satellites, I'm going to have 20 satellites with the same exact lineup, right? I don't want that. So in this case, you know, because they're all using this one sim, they're all going to have one ROI, I would use unique rank for this one. So that's what I'm doing there. All right. Looks like we are caught up there with questions in the chats here. A lot of good questions today. See a couple of build review requests. I will get those jotted down for tomorrow, but think we're all set here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.